Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Normally, we drag that pulpit back and forth, and it's a nice piece of furniture, but we don't like to leave it over there in the corner. God is good, isn't he? Are you sensing his presence ministering in a little special way this morning? Friday night, the Holy Spirit just kind of took over, a little chaotic in some spots, but hey, praise God, you know. What we've been anticipating is the Lord showing up in a special way and ministering in some wonderful ways. God blessed, and it was just exciting. Last night was a little different, and I've noticed this. I've been an evangelist, been a pastor, and I've noticed this a lot of times when the Holy Spirit begins. Sometimes on the first night, he gets a hold of people and does a little shaking and does a little dancing and whatever. And that's all wonderful. I love that. I love the way the Holy Spirit touches individuals. It's very interesting to watch individuals be touched by the Holy Spirit and watch how they react and watch how they respond to the Spirit of God moving. And it's always glorious. It's always awesome. But last night was a little different. There was some, he got our attention on Friday night, but then last night the Holy Spirit began to hover over the congregation. Yes, wonderful things were happening in prayer, but I noted that some of the prayers that we were praying had to deal with things that were deep issues in people's hearts, deep down inside, where God really needed to do some heavy healing and ministering. And I think about everybody, well, this is how it was. On the way into church, several people told me what kind of a week they had, and it was what I warned you would happen. The enemy would come and just give you a terrible week. The reason being is because he didn't want you to come to the house of God and get what God had available for you. And he ministered in a powerful way. And then after the service, several people remarked to me, I haven't felt the Spirit of the Lord like that in a long time. In fact, even one of our speakers, Ryan, that guy got crazy last night, and I thought it was awesome. And he himself said the very same words. I have not felt like singing like this or this kind of a move of the anointing in a long time. And I think we go through dry spells. I think we go through the desert on our way to the next mountaintop. And I think that's an awesome thing that we're on the mountaintop this morning. And I'm sensing that God wants to move in a great way. So I'm going to turn it right to Brother Frank, let him share the word, and let the Lord lead him, and we will follow. Amen? Shout that out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Frank.
Well, are you glad you're in the house of the Lord?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I've been so egg-cited. I am a different type of a preacher, speaker, whatever you want to call it. So I'll do my best to be dignified, but I won't guarantee it. Amen. I really and truly enjoyed the messages that's been brought forth. Ryan bringing out in 1 Thessalonians 5, be ye brethren, are not in darkness. The thing that I got most out of that was when he said we need to know how to respond correctly. That was a good message. Darren's message on Humpty Dumpty, I don't know.
Praise God.
He is a good preacher. And he is I'm proud of him. One thing I got when he said he would ask Humpty Dumpty, why didn't you ask the king? What a great message. not knowing that he was hitting a lot on my message. Matter of fact, I accused him of looking at my sermon notes. And he said, no, I didn't do that. I'm reminded of years ago, in 1980, I was 24 years old.
All right.
That wasn't funny. Gee, you're a tough crowd. And I was in my first church in a little town called Dos Palos, California. I don't know if you know that, if you knew where that's at, just west of Fresno, Modesto. And I was 24, dumb, green, had no idea what was going on, but I took a church that was packed full of Oklahomans. Don't ever go there, folks. We were having issues in the church. The issue was, it was more of a power struggle. I had a deacon tell me, he said, I'm the head deacon, and people listen to what I say. I looked at him like this. He was taller than I was. I said, I'm the pastor and I'm the boss and you'll listen to what I say.
Come on, good for you.
Come on.
He smiles at me and says, we'll see. Some months later, I was at a conference or convention or whatever it was, and this fight of mine that I was in, it really got the best of me. And so they had an altar service, and I remember calling upon the Lord. And I went up to the altar, and I started weeping before God. And I started crying before the Lord. And I said, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this situation. What do I do? What do I do? And the Lord spoke to me one of the few times that I heard his voice. He spoke to me and says, with this spirit, I will. And he started telling me the things that he would do for me. He didn't tell me how to solve my problem in the church. But he said, what this spirit, what spirit was he talking about? I was weeping before God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was crying before God. Reminds me of a story in 2 Kings chapter 20. A story about a man named Hezekiah. Everybody knows this story, I think. Hezekiah was the leader of the Jews, but he had a problem. He was sick. He had a disease. And God spoke to Isaiah to tell him that, get your house in order. You're going to die. Now, Hezekiah had a problem because the fact that they were, the Assyrians were knocking at the door ready to invade Israel. And Hezekiah was thinking, not now. Not now. You ever had problems come your way and all of a sudden it just comes on the opportune time? Why now, God? Why now? And so Isaiah says, get your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Wonderful news. Then in verse 2 it says, and then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, now listen to what he said here, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight, And Hezekiah wept sore, cried like a baby. Something happened when he wept and cried before God. He turned his face to the wall. Why did he do that? It's because that was the only time he would have privacy between him and God. Are you following me? And all of a sudden, here we are. Here's Hezekiah laying in bed with all these boils and sores, and he's dying. He's dying of a disease, and there's no cure. God sends a man his way and say, get your house in order. You're dead. You're gone. You're history. You're out of here. But for some reason, down deep inside, Hezekiah knew that there was something that he needed to finish. Something that he needed to accomplish. And he turned to God and says this, Lord, remember when I used to walk with you? Remember when I used to talk with you and how I lived holy and righteous and pure? That's all he said. And he started weeping before God. Suddenly, as Isaiah was walking downtown, God stopped him in his tracks and said, turn around and go back and talk to that man. Because I've got an answer for him. I've got good news for him. Now, when Hezekiah prayed, let me tell you something. He only prayed about the good things that he did. Well, I want you to know something. When you call upon God, God's not impressed about your history. God's not impressed about how you walked with him and how you talked with him and how you paid your tithes and your offerings to him and how you served God in the ministry or preaching of the word. He's not impressed. What impressed God the most is his tears. Amen. So God spoke to Isaiah and said, listen, you need to go back to Hezekiah and tell him, I heard his prayer and I seen his tears. When I read that, it came, went back all the way to when I was 24 years old and I was crying on God saying, God, what do I do? And I was weeping before God. There's just something about tears that touches the heart of God. Now, I'm not talking about those alligator tears. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, an alligator tear. There are some people can turn on the tears and turn on the faucet, and boy, I tell you what, it's a tear jerker. But see, God knows what kind of tears you cry. There's those tears of guilt and shame and sorrow. There's those guilt and tears of envy or whatever it may be. But see, there was something about Hezekiah that when he wept sore, there was something deep inside that he needed to do. He needed to be accomplished. He had to be in that place where he could help his people. But something came his way. There was an interruption called sickness and disease. See, God was not impressed. Can I get some water? Could someone get me some water, please? Thank you. God was not impressed by his words and by his deeds and what he has done. Now, he appreciated that. Don't get me wrong, church. And it came to pass, verse 4, and it came to pass. Say that with me, and it came to pass. Ladies and gentlemen, when you pray, it doesn't seem like God hears your prayers, but sooner or later, it will come to pass. God will answer your prayer. Yes. Woo! Yes. It will come to pass. And ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Oh, thank you, my little sweetie poo.
Yeah.
Kind of funny, my girls, I have all girls. Angie's my youngest. And they always ask me, Almost every time. Dad, who's your favorite daughter? And so here Hezekiah, and ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we feel like God doesn't hear our prayer, but I want you to know something, that God does hear prayer. He just doesn't respond when you want him to respond. He doesn't answer the prayer the way you want him to answer prayer. You should hear yourself pray sometime. Record it sometime. Huh? Oh, God, I have a husband problem. God, if I could just use the skillet over his head, God, I know he'll see the light. God, the woman you gave me. God, if you could just do this and do that and do this and do that and open this door and this, God, I know it would work. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not God. We don't have the mind that God has. But soon it will come to pass. What you've been praying for, God said, what you've been praying for, it will come to pass. Oh, give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that one. And it came to pass. Say that with me. And it came to pass. Boy, that was the worst one I've ever heard in my life. And it came to pass. Little this, okay, that was acceptable. Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, and the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the captain of my people, the captain." Ladies and gentlemen, you are the captain of God's people. You are God's anointed. You are God's people. You are God's chosen. The captain of my people. Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, for thy father. I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, that excites me to know that God knows, not only hears my prayer, but he sees my tears. Yeah. Reminds me of another story found in Mark's gospel, the 9th chapter. Oh boy, I am excited. Verse 14, and when he came to the disciples, he saw the great multitude about them and the scribes questioning them. Now you got to understand that the disciples was trying to do the ministry that Jesus sent them out to do. And they went to one individual, and this individual had a son that had that was demon possessed, and the disciples could not do what needed to be done. Everybody knows this story. And so suddenly, so straightway, it says, and all the people beheld him and were gladly amazed, and running into him and saluted him. And he, Jesus said to the scribes, what question ye with them? In other words, what are you arguing about? Why are you arguing, fighting with my disciples, my followers? Then one person speaks up, not a scribe, but another person speaks up and says, one of the multitude said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And whatsoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with the teeth and pineth away. And I spake unto the disciples, and they should cast him out, and they could not do it. How many times have we've come to preachers and teachers and evangelists and people, and we ask, say, help me through this, pray that God's blessing upon me, and it seems like nothing happens. Yeah. Nothing happens. Jesus then starts rebuking saying, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me." Oh, my, about ready to get excited here. He said, "Bring him to me." If you can't do it, bring him to Jesus. And that's what I was praying this morning in my room. I said, "God, I don't know if I can do what you want me to do, but I'm going to lead these people in this church in Zilla, I almost said California, Zilla, Washington, that I'm going to lead them to Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is thy throne that makes me white as snow. No other fountain, no." Woo! Hallelujah to the Lamb. Amen. I'm sorry I got indignant there for a moment. Here I am. Slicked my hair back with hairspray. He said, "Bring him to me. Bring him to me." And they brought him unto him. And when he saw, when he, the young child, or the demons that was in him, saw, and straightway the spirit tore him and fell him on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked the father. Now, this is interesting. Here is a young man foaming in the mouth, rolling over the floor, acting like a whatever animal, and he's going crazy. And the first thing Jesus says to the father, he says, "How long has this been going on?" And I thought to myself, why, God, are you asking that question? Oh, I sense the power of God here. Sometimes we go through things in life and it seems like it always reoccurs. And sometimes we have to take an examination of ourselves to find out, why are we in this place? Why are we still in this place? And sometimes we have to look back from the very beginning of time, where what happened in life. Sometimes we are responding today of what happened yesterday. Come on, church. I wonder if the case, he said, "Why is this kid, why is this child the way he is? How, when did it start?" He said, "It started when he was a young child." I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a wicked and perverse world today. Witchcraft and all this other stuff is going on. Kids, matter of fact, they're starting in Oregon, they're starting a Satan's club in some of the schools. Oh, boy. Our kids, I drive school bus, and I'm wondering if some of those kids need to be delivered and set free. The little kids, the little junior high, little kids talking about sex, talking about drugs, and talking about killing people, and doing all these things, and doing these wicked things in this one. And the city and the county won't let me get up and lay hands on them. When did this thing start? How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, "As a child, and oft time it cast," in verse 22, "and oft time it cast him into the fire and into the water and destroy him. But if thou canst do anything." What a question to ask Jesus. You've got to understand something. The man brought his child to anointed men of God. Men that claimed that they were disciples and followers of Jesus. Men that claimed that they could do what God, men cannot do. And when men let them down, they questioned God. Ladies and gentlemen, there are people in this church and all the churches today, they come to church, but they still question God. When I was preparing for this, God showed me in a vision just moments ago. When I was studying a couple days ago, God showed me that there was a man going to walk through those doors. Well, actually a person. Couldn't see who it is. Didn't know if it was a man or a female. But this person represents this man. This person represents this man. is the fact that this man questions if God can do anything for him. Some of your translations, if you look, you'll see Jesus saying, if I can. It's not that if I can, it's if you can believe.
What'd you say?
If you can believe. It's not if I can, but if you can believe that he can.
My God.
Well, if you don't want to get excited, I will. Don't preach me. Don't shout at me too loud. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. Well, wait a minute. What? I thought it was his son. Could I read that verse? Oh, I'm going to shake that bush one more time. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. When did this thing start? When he was a child. Ladies and gentlemen, that kid received something that the parents already had.
Wow.
All right, I'll go on. You guys don't want to. I don't know if you're getting this or not. Compassion on us. Why? Well, maybe it's because we have the same issues that the son does. Or maybe it's that we don't have the issues, but we can't do anything else for my son. Help us. If you can help us, God, then do it. But if you can't help us, I'm going somewhere else to do it. I'm getting somewhere.
It's all right. Okay.
Where's your clock? Oh, okay. She said don't worry about it, so if you get hungry, it's her fault.
All right. Hallelujah.
And Jesus said, verse 23, if thou canst believe all things, say all things. Say all things. It's not just casting out devils, but all things. Can you believe that I could heal your body? Can you believe that I could touch your soul? Can you believe that I could touch your finances? Can you believe I could touch your family? Can I believe? Woo! Someone say, all things are possible. Hallelujah. All things. Believe. We got people saying, I believe in Jesus, but they don't live the life of Jesus. I believe in God, but they don't believe in walking in the ways of God.
All right.
Hezekiah at least told you, God, that I worked in the perfect, lived in a perfect way that you wanted me to do. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say something. I'm going to shake some bushes here right now. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believe something, you practice what you believe in.
Preach now.
Right.
Talk to us.
If you have a favorite detergent, you not only believe in it, but you'll use it. You don't have a favorite detergent and not use it.
And tell others about it.
And you tell others about it. I'm preaching here, woman. Man, if you have a favorite oil that you put in your car, Quaker State or Pennzoil, whatever it is, gentlemen, you don't go to any other product, but you go to that one particular one that you've been sold on, someone preached to you about it, someone demonstrated to you, and not only you believe it, but you practice it and you put it in your car. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you live the life, you walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Come on, church. Lust of the flesh. And he tells this man, now listen to this. He tells this man, if you believe that all things are possible to them that believe. I love this response here. Ooh, I'm about ready to shout out of my shoes. And straightway the father of the child cried and said with tears. He cried and he said with tears. Now, Jesus didn't say much to him. All he said, if you just believe that all things are possible. Ladies and gentlemen, that doesn't excite some of you, but it excites me. It excites me because I know God can help me through my tough times and through my hardship time, through my marriage, through my finances, through my health, and through everything that I have to face in life. God will help me. And with tears. He cried. The water came out of his eye socket. He cried and flowed and said, Father, Master, I believe. I believe. I believe. With tears, he believed. Not now, not from this. Not now, God. And I find that God allows all these interruptions to face us. We pray for a Holy Ghost revival and the devil throws everything he's got at us. I have a sermon called Satan's Unlimited Power. And every time I preach that thing, Satan shows to me how unlimited he is. Come on, church. And he cried. He said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That first church, we only lasted about a year and a half, and we left. And when we left with bitterness in our heart. When we got in their car and we started heading down, we almost cursed that church. Not realizing what was going on. And as the time progressed, we let that bitterness just grow and it affected every church that we pastored. We took another church out of the will of God as I see it now, but it was out of the will of God. After 30 days, we had 30 people. After 30 days, we had a church split. And you know, when you have a church split in half, you only got 15 people.
That's right.
I had two. Angie was just a twinkle in my eye at the time. We had two children at the time. And I remember we were at a point where we couldn't pay our bills. $500 would have kept us surviving. Back then, $500 was a lot of money. Now it's chump change. I remember my organization that I was in. It wasn't Church of God, thank you, Jesus. But the organization I was in, they sent me a letter saying, you need to pay up the church bills or vacate within 30 days. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go. And when I would pray with bitterness in my heart. When I prayed, I would pray with hurt in my heart. My heart started getting hardened. And this was at the time when Jim Baker and Tammy Baker was really getting going. Some of you older folks know what I'm talking about. Some of you younger folks, thank you, Jesus. And I remember the time that I was turning on the TV and I was listening to old Tammy Baker say, don't give up. You're on the brink of a miracle. And I do, don't give up. God is still on the throne. And then at that time, they were making a push for $5 million. Back then, $5 million was like $5 billion. Now it's chump change. And I remember, I'll never forget, as long as I live, my wife and the kids were gone somewhere. I have no idea. I'm glad they were gone. I was pacing the floor. Matter of fact, at that time, I had two ladies in my church. I almost had a fist fight in my house. My stomach was turning in knots, and I said, God, I don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, Jim Baker started calling upon people, saying, I need people to buy this and do that and send me 100,000 this and that. And all of a sudden, Tammy Baker gets on there and says, don't give up. You're on the brink of a miracle. And I pointed my finger to Jim Baker's face right on that TV. I said, that's easy for you to say. I wish he was around. I'd have pointed my finger right in his face then, too. Of course, he'd probably talk me into an offering. Giving an offering. Oh, by the way, giving money is not necessarily your answer to your problems. You can't buy your way into heaven. So I remember, Pastor, I pointed my finger in Jim Baker's face and said, that's easy for you to say. And when I did, tears were flowing down my face. And I said, God, I don't understand. Jim Baker has the whole world to call on when he has need. But God, all I need was $500 to pay our bills. God, Jim Baker's got the world. What do I have? Who do I have? And instantly the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you've got me. I've never forgot that. I've never forgot that. That's been over so many years ago. And I know who is my source and who is my strength. But I do know one thing. When I get before the Lord, I allow the tears to flow because God recognizes the tears. He doesn't recognize what I've given in the church and what I've done, how many sermons I've preached, and how many people I led to the Lord. This is things that He requires us to do. But ladies and gentlemen, He honors our faith when we use faith down on our knees and we weep before God as this man did and as Hezekiah did. And that's how you are to do, is you get on your knees, you weep before God. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants to change your heart. Yeah. Not your mind. I don't know if you've seen me before my surgery, but I weighed 315 pounds. I was a big-time preacher. Nah, I forgot where I was going with that. Lord help me. Well, it probably was something I wasn't supposed to say. Surgery. Yeah, I had surgery. Well, I'll go back to my notes. I forgot where I was going with that one. But I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I know God. God can answer prayer. God answers prayer. Father God, help me, Lord, right now. God, it's not now, God. Not now, God. Things are going good. I got money in the bank. I got food in the cupboard. I got insurance. I got a job. And all of a sudden, the monkey wrench gets thrown in there. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say something. I'm trying to hurry. I'm going to say something that you might agree on. Some years ago, I was working at a Palo Alto, California electronics firm. And, Pastor, we had a guy named Pat Luck. That was his name, Pat Luck. He was a prankster. I hated him. I loved his soul, but I hated his pranks. And he would call someone to this big tank, helium tank or whatever it was. And he said, something's leaking. What's leaking? You got to put your ear close to it. And the guy put the ears close and take a wrench and bang. He would pull all kinds of pranks. So one day I was working at an area where the men's restroom was just right over there, and we had half walls here, and you could see the men's restroom where I was working at. And I happened to see Pat walk in the restroom with a magazine. Now I'll leave that rest up to you, your imagination. See, I had this idea he's going to stay there for a little bit. And a thought come to my mind. Go turn the lights off. And so I didn't want to do it. And so there was a guy named Don working on the other side. I said, Don. He says, what? And he says, I said, Pat's in the bathroom with the magazine. He said, so? I says, go turn the lights off. He said, oh, no. I said, and it took me a while, but I convinced him to go turn the lights off. I said, all you have to do is reach in and touch the light. You don't even have to say that. Just reach in and touch the light. So he goes over there, turns the lights off, and within 30 seconds, it seemed like, Pat come running out. And he ran straight to me. And he started, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. But he didn't like to be teased. He didn't like to be pranked on. He started chewing me out and everything else. I said, wait, Pat, wait, hold your horses. I didn't turn the light off. Don did. And instantly, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He did. He said, that's what we do when the devil does things to us. Or when we make our own choices. We blame the devil. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, some of our problems, maybe a lot of our problems, is self-induced problems.
Good preaching.
James 4:17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In that same era, there was a lady, we used to go to lunch together, not me and her, but the group of us. Ladies and guys, and we'd sit across the table, and this lady would only eat salad and a piece of pie. And back then they had a coffee vending machine. It was terrible. It was like mud. So she'd buy this cup of coffee, and she'd buy this icky looking salad, and she'd buy this big hunk of piece of pie. And so sip on that coffee and eat that salad. And then as soon as she would be done, she would go over that pie, and the first thing she would say, as she's pulling that pie towards her, she said, I know I shouldn't, but. Now, I know some of you are guilty of that one, huh? Every day she would buy the same thing, and every day when she pulled that pie, she said, I know I shouldn't, but. Hum's ever said that? Oh, the rest of you need to pray through. I know I shouldn't, but. So finally I decided I'm going to do something about that. I'm glad I gotten older and wiser. And so finally she went through the routine. She got her coffee and the salad that looks like it's been sitting there for some time. And she... And sure enough, like clock, she started pulling that pie over, and she said, I know I shouldn't, but, and I reached over and started grabbing that pie. She took her fork and started stabbing me with it. She said, what are you doing? I said, you know you shouldn't, so I decided to take your burden off you. We do that with God. I know I need to serve God. I know I need to go to church. I know I need to pray. I know I need to fast. I know I need to give my tithes and offering. I know that when God starts pulling something, you stab him. What are you doing, God, to me? What are you doing? God's saying, I'm trying to take the burden away from you. Oh, my. I got so much to ask and tell you. I'm hurrying. The book, 1 John, God gave me this message, Pastor, when we first started evangelizing. 1 John chapter 5, this has been over 10 plus years ago. James, Peter, John, okay. Now we know the Bible. 1 John chapter 5. I want you to get this in your spirit. Verse 14. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're not there, get there, because we're going. And this is the confidence, assurance, and trust. This is, ladies, you can't have confidence in God if you don't trust Him. You can't have confidence in God if you don't be obedient to what He asks you to do. This is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything, say that again, anything, say it, all things, anything. Having confidence in Him, asking anything according to His will. We're being lied to, people. They're saying everything is His will. Not everything is His will. All of a sudden we go back. And we go back to the man with the demon-possessed child and said, if you could do these things. And all of a sudden we're saying, God, if it's Your will. If it's Your will. Who's ever said that? If it's Your will. If it was God's will for you to be up here preaching, you'd be up here preaching. Come on. If it was God's will for you to pastor this church, you'd be pastoring this church. If it was God's will for you to work where you're working, you would be working there. But if it's not, you won't be working there. If it's God's will for you to be a millionaire, He would make sure you become a millionaire. Just remember who your friends are. If all of a sudden we're questioning God, we're questioning His word. Listen, all of a sudden, that all started from the day when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. Had God said that you would die, He planted that seed of doubt, and all of a sudden, every time we try to get a hold of God, we say, God, if it's Your will, make it happen. If not, well, oh well. Ladies and gentlemen, it's God's will to bless you. It's God's will to heal you. It's God's will to take care of you. It's God's will for you to live prosperous. It's God's will for you to live holy and righteous before God. It's God's will. But not everything is His will.
That's right. Absolutely.
Isaiah told Hezekiah, get your stuff in order, you're going to die. But there was something burning in Hezekiah's spirit that knew that there was, his job was not done. His job is not done. And sometimes we bring problems our way and by our disobedience. If we have confidence in Him, asking anything according to His will, He shall hear. Didn't say He would answer. In verse 14, He said He would. He said He would what?
Hear.
Oh, say it again. He said what?
Hear.
He said if you have confidence in Him, asking anything according to His will, He will hear your prayers. Isaiah, go to Hezekiah and tell him I heard his prayer. Boy, I'm getting excited. And here's the kicker, verse 15. And if we believe that He hears our prayer.
Right. We believe He hears us.
Faith. Prayer is the key. But faith is the one that unlocks the door.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
I think we need to get back to weeping before God. See, when I was praying in that one town and God spoke to me, he said, I'm here for you. I was praying with hurt. I was praying with bitterness. I was praying with envy. I was praying with with grief in my spirit. But God, I don't understand. And sometimes, but see, ladies and gentlemen, there was something happening during that prayer. Tears started flowing down my face. If it wasn't for the tears, God would have not answered me. But tears represent the softness of the heart, the sincerity. Oh, God, help us.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I want to let you know something, ladies and gentlemen. There was a young lady, I don't know if she's here or not. I prayed with her Friday night. Is she here? Of course, I prayed for a lot of people Friday night.
She'll be here tonight.
She'll be here tonight. I hope she don't mind. I laid hands on her and we started to pray. And she started weeping. I mean, she wept.
She didn't do this thing.
I mean, those tears flowed. I had no idea what was going on in her life. Some of you do, but I didn't. Had no idea. And God spoke to her through prophecy or through word, through me, and God said to her, I see your tears.
Yes.
I walked away, and just like Isaiah, God stopped me in the midstream. I turned around and went back to her. And I went to her and I said to her, God told me to tell you, I forgive you and love you. Oh my. I sense the presence of God here so strong. Later on, she told me, she said, I said, is everything all right with you? She says, no. She says, because I have a problem of forgiveness. Not knowing what she was going through, God told her, I forgive you. What God's doing is setting the precedence in her life, saying, if I forgive you, you need to forgive them. Hallelujah. A lot of times our prayers are hindered because of unforgiveness. Jesus asked the man, what was the problem? When did this problem start with this child? From his youth? From when he was a young boy, a little boy? I don't know about you, but when I was raised without a dad, I envy those who have dads. I'm trying to quit. Oh. When I was growing up, I didn't have a dad. I had a mom that was a dad. I mean, no, she wasn't gay or anything, don't get me wrong. She filled the spot, filled shoes. Got to get that one straight. And there was a time, Pastor, where I was starting to get bitter in my spirit because my dad wasn't there. When I needed him the most, he wasn't there. When I played football, everybody else's dad was there saying, good job, son. Who did I have? I had nobody. I see my son-in-laws being wonderful dads, and I envy their kids. But ladies and gentlemen, and two, I learned how to forgive. The blessings of God were stunched. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? I had to weep before God and ask for forgiveness. And I forgave my dad. He passed away before I could even talk to him, but I forgave my dad. I forgave those who hurt me. I forgave those who did things to me when I was a young kid. And I forgave them, and because of my forgiveness and because of the forgiveness of God, I am where I am today. But ladies and gentlemen, if I have let that harden my heart, I wouldn't be here today. I'd be out there cursing God. But I thank God his spirit fell upon me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, and the Holy Ghost got a hold of my life. Where's that song leader? The Spirit of the Lord. There you are. He stirred me. What do you mean he stirred? The Bible says he provoked me. He provoked me unto doing good works. Unto love and good works. I said, God, how am I going to do this morning? He said, bring the people to me. Bring the people to me. And I will hear their cry. So ladies and gentlemen, if you've got needs in your heart, tonight we're going to preach about how to get down, and we're going to preach about those that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Well, I'm believing that God's going to set some people free today in this church. Amen. It's not because of what the pastor's been doing or what he's not been preaching. He's been doing what we've been trying to preach is what he's been preaching for months. See, I could say things and get away because I can believe, but he can't. But I do have to be careful because, you know. But ladies and gentlemen, if you're really hungry for God, I need someone up there. If you're really hungry for God, if you're really hungry, oh, do you remember that scripture God gave us? Those that are thirsty. Remember he said that Friday night, those that are thirsty. If you're thirsty for the move of God, if you're thirsty for a healing of the body, if you're thirsty for God's relationship with God, if you're thirsty, ladies and gentlemen, don't come up if you don't want your heart changed. He's not going to try to change your mind. He's going to change your heart. And when he changes your heart, your mind will change. And all of a sudden, the things that you used to do or are doing now, you won't do it anymore because you want to please him. Hallelujah. Change my heart. Change my heart. We've allowed the cares of this life to overcome us to where we don't have time for church. I remember years ago, church was the center focus of the family. Now the family is the center focus of the church. We're reading things we're not supposed to read. Oh, I'm meddling now. That's right. We're watching movies and shows that we are not to see. I was surfing through the channel trying to find a movie one time, and I said, well, this is a nice movie. And almost every movie that I've found, they had a sex scene in it. I found one, I thought, well, this is good to talk about teenagers. And they were having sex. God, where are we coming? Where are we going? What's happening? And all of a sudden, society says that's a norm. It's not a norm. Brother Rainey, you're preaching like a hard preacher. No, I'm preaching the Word of God. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's probably before your time. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. I don't know if you got that or not. 'Tis a glorious church. He's coming after a glorious church. He's coming after a glorious church. He's coming after a body of believers. He's coming after a holy believer. He's coming after those who love him and adore him. He's coming after those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and cleansed from all unrighteousness and living in holiness and righteousness of God. Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hearken unto my voice, for I am the Lord thy God. I have spoke to you through my servant. Don't harden your hearts. Don't harden your hearts, but come to me. Come to the wooing of my spirit. You come to me and I will bring joy and happiness. I will bring contentment and love into your life. I will make that was straight and make it crooked, and I will make that was crooked and make it straight. You come to me, those that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Come to me now. Come to me now. Come. Church, I want you to get up out of your seat right now. Every one of you, by the sound of my voice, you come, get up to this altar right now. Pastor and you and the preachers, all those who come, you come. I want you to come. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to weep before God. It's not time to play. It's not time to just say, gripe and complain about why things are not happening. It's time. It's time. It's time to weep before God. Come on, church, lift those hands. Lift those hearts. And start crying to God. Lift it. Lift it. Come on, church. Come on. God doesn't hear silence. He needs you to speak. He needs you to speak against that mountain. Speak unto that mountain. So, hallelujah. Subtitle, Tis a Glory.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.